As we prepare to celebrate Christmas once again, I am reminded of T.S. Eliot's poem, The Journey of the Magi, which describes the difficult journey undertaken by those magi of old, setting off from what we think is modern-day Iraq. They were following a star, uncertain of their destination, but heading east. There were dangers on the way and times when they felt like giving up, longing for the comfort zones to which they had grown accustomed. Many of us will be able to relate to that. The current pandemic has taken us all on a journey, but a journey none of us wished to make. It has taken us to places we have not wanted to go. It has brought with it anguish and despair, grief and heartache. Vaccines have given us cause for hope, but variants have joined the journey with us, causing frustration. The end of our journey is some way off. We are not there yet, but the message of the angels at Christmas was one of peace and joy, and the Magi persevered until they found the Christ child. This Christmas, I hope you will find a sense of peace and joy, as together we look forward to a time when the journey will finally come to an end. I wish you all a very blessed Christmas and a healthy, prosperous and peaceful New Year.
John Betjeman. The bells of waiting Advent ring. The tortoise stove is lit again. And lamp oil light across the night has caught the streaks of winter rain in many a stained glass window sheen from Crimson Lake to Hooker's Green. The holly in the windy hedge and round the manor house the yew will soon be stripped to deck the ledge, the altar, font and arch and pew, so that the villagers can say, "The church looks nice," on Christmas Day. Provincial public houses blaze, corporation tramcars clang. On lighted tenements I gaze, where paper decorations hang. And bunting in the red town hall says, "Merry Christmas to you all." And London shops on Christmas Eve are strung with silver bells and flowers, as hurrying clerks the city leave to pigeon-haunted classic towers. And marbled clouds go scudding by the many-steepled London sky. And girls in slacks remember Dad, and oafish louts remember Mum, and sleepless children's hearts are glad, and Christmas morning bells say come, even to shining ones who dwell safe in the Dorchester Hotel. And is it true, this most tremendous tale of all, seen in a stained glass window's hue, a baby in an ox's stall, the maker of the stars and sea, become a child on earth for me? And is it true? For if it is, no loving fingers tying strings around those tissued fripperies, the sweet and silly Christmas things, bath salts and inexpensive scent, and hideous tie, so kindly meant. No love that in a family dwells, no carolling in frosty air, nor all the steeple shaking bells can with this single truth compare. That God was man in Palestine, and lives today in bread and wine.
Oh, St. Luke tells of the birth of Jesus. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
The shepherds go to the manger. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favours." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
Christ, see my joy, see way up in the sky. Hello everyone, I'm Russ Tipson, Director of Action Heart. Thank you so much for supporting our 28th Christmas Carol service. It really is very much appreciated. Due to the pandemic, this is our second consecutive virtual carol service, which is only able to go ahead because of the wonderful support we have received from the King Swynford Choral Society. Many of you will know that the Action Heart Centre is based at Russell's Hall Hospital in Dudley, where it provides rehabilitation support to patients with cardiovascular disease, cancer, and many other medical conditions, including more recently, those patients recovering with long COVID. I'm pleased to report that the Action Heart Centre has been able to reopen, although part of our gym is still given over to supporting the hospital's COVID vaccination team. I think it's fair to say that we all look forward to the time when the Action Heart Centre can reopen completely and all our services have returned to normal. All of our clinical work is supported by our fundraising team, and they continue to do all that they can in these very difficult circumstances. Once again, the Action Heart team is truly grateful for the support of the King Swynford Choral Society in providing us with this fundraising opportunity. Please be assured that any donations received will be truly appreciated and put to good use in Action Heart's return to normal service. Lastly, and very importantly, on behalf of the Action Heart staff, I'd like to say a huge thank you to our volunteers for their continued support. We look forward to working with you all again in 2022. In the meantime, we hope you have an enjoyable and safe Christmas and wish you a happy and healthy New Year. Happy Christmas, everyone. Thank you.
The visit of Father Christmas is told by Gervais Finn. I arrived at the Church of England Primary School to find an extremely distraught head teacher, Miss Fairburn. "Oh dear, Mr. Finn," she gasped. "Oh dear me." Teachers are sometimes rather nervous when I arrive in school, but I had never had such an effect before. This woman was near to fainting. "Oh, it's not you, Mr. Finn. It's just that Father Christmas has appendicitis, and it looks as if we will have to cancel the party. The children will be so disappointed. They were so looking forward to it." It turned out that Father Christmas was Mr. Beach, the school crossing patrol assistant, who every year took on this arduous role at the infant and nursery Christmas party. However, he had been rushed to hospital after breakfast, and his daughter had telephoned to say that he would not be able to oblige that afternoon. I am quite sure that there were tears in the head teacher's eyes. "The children will be so disappointed. They're all so excited about Father Christmas coming." What could I do? I was the only available man. Nervously, I donned the costume, and after a strong cup of coffee, entered the hall to find row upon row of wide-eyed, open-mouthed children. They squealed in delight when they saw the familiar red coat and fluffy, white cotton wool beard. Everything went pretty well until a bright little spark announced loudly, "You're not the real, you know." "Oh, yes, I am," I replied in a deep, jolly Father Christmas voice. "Oh, no, you're not," she persisted. "Your beard's held on by elastic. I can see it. And Father Christmas wears big boots. You're wearing shoes." "Oh, that's very true. But I got stuck in a snowdrift on my way here, and my boots were so filled up with snow that I borrowed these shoes from Mr. Beach." School inspectors have to think on their feet when it comes to bright little buttons like that one. "You can't have, because Mr. Beach has gone to hospital," continued the child. "My nan told me because he lives next door. You're not real Father Christmas." "Oh, yes, I am," I said in my loud, jolly voice, only to hear a whole school hall shout back, "Oh, no, you're not." The head teacher intervened and bailed me out by starting the singing. After three verses of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, each child came forward to receive a small present. "What are the names of your reindeers?" asked a small little boy. "Well, there's Rudolph," I started, "and Donna, and Blitzen, and, Miss Fairburn, seeing that I was struggling, helped me out again by explaining that Father Christmas was rather deaf.
"Some snow from the snowdrift is still in his ears," she said.
One child asked me if I knew her name, and when I replied that I didn't, she looked devastated.
"I thought Father Christmas knows the names of all the girls and boys."
Miss Fairburn explained that Father Christmas's eyes weren't too good either, and he had such a lot of letters to read. One rather grubby little scrap asked if she could sit on my knee.
"No, Chelsea," said the head teacher firmly. "I don't think..."
It was too late. The child had clambered up and was clinging to me like a little monkey.
"Get down, Chelsea," said Miss Fairburn loudly. "I don't think Father Christmas wants children on his knee. He's got a poorly leg."
Any more ailments, I thought, and I will be joining Mr. Beach in the Royal Infirmary.
"Now, you'll be a very good girl and sit on the floor, Chelsea," I said in my jolliest voice. "Otherwise the other children will want to climb up."
Chelsea stayed put and held fast like a limpet. I chuckled uneasily until the child's teacher managed to prise her off. The head teacher shrugged and looked knowingly at the teachers standing around the hall. After the children had sung me out to Jingle Bells, I was invited into the staff room. It was extremely hot under the red suit.
"Father Christmas, you were a great hit," said Miss Fairburn.
The staff looked on and nodded.
"We would like to give you a small Christmas gift."
"Oh no," I said, "that really isn't necessary."
"Oh, but I think it is necessary,"
insisted the head teacher, and presented me with a small bottle-shaped parcel, which looked as if it had been hastily wrapped in some bright red tissue paper. I shook my gift and held it to my ear. "Aftershave?" I inquired. "Is it aftershave?"
"No, Father Christmas," the staff replied as one. Is it a bottle of whiskey? No, Father Christmas, they chorused. I tore off the wrapping to reveal a small brown bottle of medication. The label read, for the infestation of the head. Chelsea's just got over head lice, said the head teacher. It's not advisable to be too close to her for the time being. As he's just recovered from scabies, popped up a beaming teacher. The rest of the staff joined in with a hearty, ho, ho, ho.
Yourself on every little place, as great as I. On behalf of the Kingswinford Choral Society, we hope you have enjoyed this virtual Christmas concert and that it has brought you some joy this festive season. If you would like to make a donation to Action Heart, don't forget you can do so via our Just Giving page. All of us in the choir wish you a very Merry Christmas and a peaceful New Year, and we look forward to singing for you again soon.